children of the congregation, if you'd like to gather in the middle, you can come to the baptism as well. As you witness these baptisms, take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the font by again renouncing the devil and confessing faith in the triune God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet, according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood in the lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Hayden Earl, Vanessa Marie, and Chase Lee, according to your boundless mercy, and bless them with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in them, which has been inherited from Adam, and which they themselves have committed since, to be drowned and die. Grant that they be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, they would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. You are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Hayden, Vanessa, and Jesus' baptisms. You are to pray for them every day, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurturing the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Patrick and Laura, is it your intention to serve Hayden Earl, Vanessa Marie, and Chase Lee as sponsors in the Christian faith, and say yes with the help of God? God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Hayden Earl, Vanessa Marie, and Chase Lee the new birth and holy baptism, and made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as they have now become your children, you would keep them in their baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, they may faithfully lead godly lives to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old,
which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs,
and that foolish people revile your name.
Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts.
Do not forget the life of your poor forever.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame.
Let the poor and needy praise your name.
Have regard for the covenant.
Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Thank you.
O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the 32nd chapter. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third and fourth chapters. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel reading. I'll read again the first three verses. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" This is our text. O Lord, how long? How long? Christians have been belting out this prayer for over 2,000 years. What's it going to take, Lord? We cry. When will you respond, Lord? How long? Cries Job. How long? Lament the Psalms. How long? Shout the prophets. And if that's not enough, you've got St. John's book of Revelation. He sees the souls of those who've been slain for the word of God and for the witness they'd borne. He sees the martyrs of every age and every place. He sees them there under the altar. And you can probably guess what these martyrs cry aloud. How long? O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? John saw that vision almost 2,000 years ago, and the martyrs are still crying out, and the church is still calling on God. And this prayer seems like it hasn't yet been answered. And that's simply being honest about how things seem. It may feel like a bit of a punch in the gut, and it's certainly enough to make a Christian lose heart, isn't it? I mean, if that's the way things are, why even bother to keep on praying? What good will it do anyway? And you know what? Some of us have slowed down in our prayers. We take our medication regularly, one dose three times a day, but we can't be bothered with a routine for prayer. Or we treat prayer like it's a break glass in case of emergency sort of thing. We're glad to have it there, but we're not going to make a whole lot of use of it unless we really have to. And some have simply stopped praying at all. You don't have to tell me. I know it happens, because I feel the weight and the discouragement as well, of praying and asking and saying how long, and then waiting. Of course, all that assumes that we even know what prayer is, and I don't think that we should take that for granted. The disciples, when they saw Jesus praying at one point, said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Prayer must be taught, and it must be learned. So here's a very simple definition of prayer. Prayer is talking with God. Talking with God in thoughts or words. It's how we as children of God communicate with Him. It's a gift. It's a privilege. It's one that we have through Jesus Christ. That's why during the baptism rite, I place my hands on Hayden, Vanessa, and Earl and Chase's heads as we prayed the Lord's Prayer. With that action, demonstrating and showing that through holy baptism, they too have become children of the Heavenly Father, and they also have the right and the privilege of praying our Father who art in heaven. So that when they pray, whether it's 10-year-old prayers or 1-year-old prayers, our Father in heaven hears them as His dear children. just as he hears you. We learn to pray especially in two ways. We learn to pray first by listening to how God talks to us in his word. This is crucial. If we're not hearing what God has to say to us, how in the world will we know how we are to speak to him in return? His word is vital. And the second way we learn is by listening to how our older brothers and sisters pray. As you gather on Sundays, take in the collects and the prayer of the church. Use the other written prayers that you have that have been prayed and handed down through the generations. Pay attention when another Christian prays, especially an older Christian, mature in the faith, who has gone through seasons of trial and temptation and loss. Listen carefully when you hear someone like that pray. So we should pray, but as I suggested earlier, we don't pray the way that we should. Not often. Our worship and prayers have faltered. We haven't always prayed, and we have, at least sometimes, lost heart. And if that's not you, or it's not you right now, then God be praised. But I'll be honest, my prayers aren't what they should be. And I suspect that many of you can say the same. The readings today give us two examples, two older siblings to imitate in prayer. By watching them, we learn not only to pray, but to be persistent in prayer. But they might not be the kind of examples that you would naturally expect. If I were to ask you for examples in the scriptures of what we might call prayer warriors, I wonder if some of you might point me to the prophet Daniel. He was the one, when a law was made against prayer, nevertheless insisted 3 times a day on praying, even under the threat of being thrown to the lions. Or maybe others of you would point to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we read through the Gospels, you find Jesus almost on every page, praying for his disciples, praying for the church. With the promise that ascended into heaven, he is also praying for us, interceding for us right now, every single day. The blood of Jesus Christ is pleading for you. But the examples we have aren't the examples of Daniel or of Jesus. Instead, we're given these two examples. We're given Jacob wrestling with a man, and we're given a widow who by her continual coming wears down an unrighteous judge. Might not be the examples you would expect for teaching on prayer. First, Jacob. Jacob is about to meet his brother Esau. It's the first time that they'll be together in over 20 years, and he's scared. Because 20 years earlier, when Jacob left his home, he left fast, and he didn't tell his brother where he was going because he had just stolen the blessing meant for his older brother. And now he's returning, and he's wondering what will happen. And night sets, and Jacob is by himself, and he is alone. And it says that a man wrestled with him until sunrise. Which doesn't sound exactly like prayer. For prayer, you kind of want to be still and calm, kneeling perhaps, or sitting with your eyes closed and your hands folded. But here is Jacob, and he is wrestling. And while he's wrestling, holding on to this man realizes that he can't take Jacob out. So he touches his hip socket and puts it out of joint. And he says to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day has broken." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." All we've seen so far is this wrestling match between Jacob and this unnamed man, and Jacob pinning him down, saying, "I will not let you go until you give me a blessing." And so he receives a blessing. And this is it. A new name. His name will be Israel.
For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. And there's the key to what was going on with Jacob. He's wrestling with a man, but this is no ordinary man, for this is God as well. In fact, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, meaning, I've seen God face to face, and yet I'm alive. Jacob wrestles with God, and he will not let God go until he's received that blessing. It's so amazing to me when I think about my own prayer life. Give me a prayer or two of asking God, and if I don't receive the blessing from that, I'm bound to just let go and give up. But Jacob holds on. He persists. He persists not because he thinks that he can master God, but because he believes that God is a God who comes to bless. And so he's going to keep asking. He's going to keep holding on until the blessing comes. This is a picture of prayer. If you think that prayer is only silent and calm, then you are wrong, because prayer is often a wrestling match. Sometimes a wrestling match through the dark night, waiting for the daylight appear. Sometimes a wrestling match where we are holding on to God and what we know of him from his word and saying, I'm going to keep holding on until you bless me. And consider how Jacob ends that wrestling match. He doesn't get away unscathed. He walks away limping but blessed. I mean, that could be a description of us at times, couldn't it? Our faith holding on to God and yet struggling with God, wrestling with him, and we leave wounded, limping, but blessed. The second example we find is the widow from the gospel reading. We're told explicitly that this is a parable, a story, not a real life example, but I'm sure that something like this has happened countless times. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. A judge who doesn't fear God or respect man. Later on, he actually says this himself, which I can't imagine anyone actually acknowledging. Even though I don't fear God or respect any man, but he's not one to give justice to a poor widow who's coming. But it says that she kept coming to him. And that word kept coming is one that just sort of keeps on going. She does it again and again and again and again, and she is asking for justice against her adversary, for protection, for vindication, and for rescue. And for a while, he refused. But she wouldn't give up. And afterward, he finally said to himself, you know, this woman just keeps coming and I can't get rid of her. I think the only thing I can do is to give her justice, to answer her plea, so that she won't beat me down. Or in the original language, it actually says, so she won't give me a black eye by her continual coming. Just pummeling him again and again and again with this request. And finally, though he doesn't fear God or respect her, he relents. He answers the request. What are we to learn from this? Are we to take away that our God is an unrighteous judge who neither respects us nor fears himself? No. We are to recognize that if an unrighteous judge will answer the plea of that widow, how much more will our God hear and answer our prayers? The church is no widow. Our Lord Jesus Christ died, it is true, but he is risen from the dead, and he is ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is the bridegroom of the church. And our God is not an unrighteous judge. He is the righteous one himself. And he has promised to vindicate, to rescue, to save his people. He has promised to hear our prayers. This is what Jesus says. Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? And the answer, of course, is yes, he will. There is a promise in there. A promise that our God does and will hear our prayers and that he will answer them. Maybe not in our timing, but in his. In fact, he even says, will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. When I hear those words, I can't help but hear the promise that Jesus gave. Surely, I am coming soon. That he is coming to bring justice. He is coming to give justice to his people, forgiveness of sins to those who believe in him, and to right the wrongs of this world and this life. That is true. And we can believe it. And we continue to pray, to struggle in prayer, to wrestle like Jacob, and to pound on the door of our God like that widow. We don't pray because we know exactly how or when the Lord will answer our prayers. In fact, I venture to guess that if you knew how God was going to answer your prayers or when he was going to answer them, you would probably just stop praying. Why do we pray? We pray because he's commanded us to do so, and we pray because he has promised to hear us. He's promised. Hold him to that promise. Don't let go until he has answered that promise. If it takes a day or a week or a month or a year or a decade or a century, continue to pray. Be persistent. Because your Jesus Christ, your Lord Jesus Christ, has given himself into death for you, and he is raised from the dead for you, and he is ascended into heaven for you, and he will come again. He will give justice, and he will give it speedily. And do not lose heart. And as I said, if your prayers are faltering, first of all, confess that to God, and then second of all, turn to his word and turn to your brothers and sisters in the church. No amount of time can stop God from answering his prayers. No amount of heartbreak or injustice can stop God from answering his prayers. He has spoken in his Son Jesus Christ, and he will keep his prayers. His promises. If that can't stop our prayers, then what can? And if that doesn't destroy our faith, then what will? Will he find faith on earth? Jesus asked. And the answer is yes. Not by our strength, but by the power of his word. By the Holy Spirit at work in the scriptures and in the preaching and in holy baptism and holy communion. And will he bless? And the answer, as sure as the nails driven into Christ's wrists and feet, and the crown of thorns pressed into his head, and the spear thrust into his side, will he bless? And the answer is yes. Yes, he will, in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake. So do not lose heart. Keep on praying. For soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. And he will bless us again. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For grace and faith to hear and heed the voice of God's word, just as Jacob wrestled with the Lord and would not depart without a blessing, and for patience, courage, and endurance in every time of trial, that we may not despair when we suffer for the sake of the kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a fervent desire for the truth of God's word among his people, that pastors may preach and teach the word with patience, sober-mindedness, and faithfulness, and that listeners may be made wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer persecution, especially for the underground and house churches in China, for their pastors, leaders, and members, that they would be kept safe and remain steadfast in faith at all times, and for an end to persecution, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For husbands and wives, that they might live in faithfulness to each other. For all mothers with child, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. For all children, and for those who bring children to baptism and nurture them in the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, the Congress of these United States, our governor, and all elected and appointed officials of government, that they would have integrity and promote good and just laws for the benefit of all people as they serve the highest good. And for those whose sacrificial service in the police and military regularly protects and defends us here and abroad, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we would be delivered from evil, and for the lives of those who face sickness, injuries, and troubles, including Judy, who is hospitalized, Melinda in her healing, Janet with her surgery, Robert with his upcoming surgery and chemo, as well as Bobby and Carol, Katie, Carol and Mike, Danny and Karen, Dorothy, Heather and Mike, Jim, Karen, Kate, Nicole, Rick and Teresa, Tony and Libby, and Verity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and repentance, that we may receive the blessed food of Christ's body and blood and be brought into the Holy Communion to bear fruit in lives of holiness, righteousness, and service. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For persistence to pray, because the Lord loves us, always provides for us, and promises to give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night. For faith that wrestles with the Lord but trusts that he remains in control. And for forgiveness, guidance, and eternal life with Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Father, as you have promised, keep safe our coming in and our going out from this time forth and forevermore. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 29, a psalm of prophecy of the gospel. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, and God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in a splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wildernesses. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord is enthroned over the flood, and the Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, and God of glory thunders, and the Lord over many waters.
and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.